And so to kind of start this morning off, we're going to have the president and CEO of DLF, Pixseed USA, Claus Ekier, is going to come up this morning and give us a market report to start the morning off. So, Claus?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate to have the opportunity to come here and talk to you. I think in general it's always good if you have good news, and I think everybody knows that the markets right now are not too bad, so as we say. So I think it's a good start at least. So what I want to talk about here is give a market update, a domestic and international market update. But I also want to talk about the importance of having good data to make decisions about what we want to plant, how we want to price it. That's a very important part of the market as well. So I'll dwell a little bit on that also in my presentation. If we look at the global grass seed market, the supply and demand is in really good shape. There's good balance. Many products are short even. So I think we can say the global grass seed market is in good shape at the moment. It goes for Europe, it goes for the US, it goes for South America, and it goes also for New Zealand and Australia. Exchange rate play a big role in international trade, as well as oversupply in some areas of the world and shortage in other areas of the world. But exchange rate, if we look at the dollar, that is not very favorable for us right now for export. If we go back to 2011, let's say Europe, they could buy 100 pounds of seed. Now they can buy 80 pounds of seed for the same amount of money. So that's a big difference. It's 20%. The exchange rate is hurting us. The same if we look to Canada, we have the same thing. Is it loud enough? Probably. Otherwise, I guess I'll hear it. So exchange rates are really important for us and not really in our favor right now. We have had a very long period now with high prices. Limited supply is driving that. And normally we see high prices will generate more seed, will increase production very quickly. That has not really happened here over the last few years, either in Europe or over here in the US. Production are really not going up as it used to do. It's in part to do with, we have had good commodity prices for some years, also, hazelnuts and other things here are taking out acres, so we struggle to get production going. I think companies have tried to increase production also, but that is not that's been impossible in at least in some species to really increase production. Right now, we have low commodity prices and have had for a period also, so that's of course not good, but. As a result of that, I think we see production going up, both in Europe, in parts of Europe at least, but also in the US, we see increases. We also see now annual ryegrass being exported from South America to China, to the US even, also to Europe. That's a result of the high prices we have here in the US for annual ryegrass, but also because the product is short. We see orchard grass, we see creeper being exported from Europe to the US at the moment. Orchard grass is something that has gone on for several years, but it seems to be more and more because they are very competitive due to the exchange rate and also because of the yields they have for orchard grass in Europe. Something very unusual, creeping red fescue in Canada is kind of sold out. There's really no one that has a lot of seed to sell anymore. Maybe there is a load here and there or resellers that can sell something, but it's just sold out. Farmers do not have seed in their bins. And I think talking to industry people up there, they say they've never seen that before. So this is really a new development. And it's not going to change just in the near few years. There's, as usual, there is cheap ryegrass coming in from New Zealand. It's coming maybe a little bit to the U.S., but it's nui. But a lot of it is going to Europe and also to China. Europe used to have a big pile of tetraploid ryegrass. That is all gone now. So there is really no cheap seed left in Europe when it comes to ryegrass. We have oversupply of timothy in Canada. The production is probably bottoming out now. Acres has been taken out big time. So I think we'll see that market increase over the next few years. We even see increasing import of seed into Canada, which is very unusual. It's normally Canada exporting, but they are importing now from Europe also. It's all from creeper, ryegrass, and other things. And it's partly driven by us struggling from the US supplying to the Canadians. I think exchange rates is, you know, it used to be 1-to-1. Now it's 1.26, so you know, 25% worse than it used to be. So not very good for us in the U.S. And then we have a huge supply of oversupply of alfalfa also. If we look at the U.S. market, we have had low harvest yields, as I'm sure that all of you know very well, for 3 years in a row now, and that's starting to create some issues for us. I think most companies are starting to get quite short in their inventories are getting low, and we are struggling to meet demand within some species right now. We'll go out of the season with very low inventories. We always want to carry a certain amount of inventory to start up the new season, take early orders from customers before you get the seed cleaned, new crop cleaned for us. So that's going to create a lot of pressure now on the cleaners for new crop. Seed movement this fall, I think, has been quite good. OSA made a survey among its members. It's not all the members that answered or participated, but at least it showed that tall fescue sales was up 7% this fall, and perennial ryegrass up 4%. Whether that reflects the whole market, of course, I can't say, but overall, we have had good demand. The market has been very competitive, kind of in line with last year, especially in perennial ryegrass for overseeding, are very competitive and very hard to make money on. But seed is moving. That's, of course, the most important part. If we look at the different species, no doubt tall fescue is tight. There has been good sales, as I said, sales up a little bit, but combined with the low inventories and the poor harvest, we're pretty short now. Quality this year was not quite what it used to be. I think we have had, at least we have seen more issues with any ryegrass and also poor annua. And that's the problem for many buyers with that. K31 is extremely tight. Harvest ended up being about 15 million pounds, I think, in Missouri. And we anticipated it to be 30, 35 million. So that's a contributing factor to the very tight market we have for tall fescue right now. Perennial ryegrass, for sure, is long. Even we had poor yields in Oregon. We had acres taken out in Canada, in Minnesota, due to winter kill or poor establishment. But still, we have way too much seed. And that's probably not going to correct itself before sometime next year. Bluegrass, very short, I think we can say. We all have seed. Yields were reasonable, I think, but most of us don't have the acres to support what we could sell, I think. Things like 9885 that we used to have a lot of, we don't have quite as much of that anymore. There are no inventories, so it's as they clean now, they produce more of that. So again, good story on that. At least it's short. We can make money on it. I think a good note actually to make here is that it is in short years we all make better money. So I think that's an important message also here. Fine fescues are balanced to tight. also with what's going on in Canada, is not making it better. Annual ryegrass obviously is very tight with high prices over 50 cents to the grower, which is kind of unheard of. So these high prices are definitely pushing everybody in the direction of doing more coating. You all heard about coating in the retail market. Not everybody is coating in the retail market today, but it's going that direction. We are all forced to go that direction because we cannot compete with raw seed versus coated seed. The higher prices we are getting, grower prices we have, the more attractive it is to coat. So we see it in the retail market, more and more is being coated. We see it in K31 starting to coat as well. We see it in the professional market. There is more and more interest to start coating there as well. It's a little harder to get professionals, people, distributors to take on the coated seed, but I think that's the direction it's going. The outlook for spring, I'm not going to predict very much about that because that's going to be very difficult. We all know that. But I think we are, at least we are set up well. Inventories at distributor levels are pretty low. We are quite sure that distributors, they are aware of the situation with shortages in many seed, in many species. So I think they'll be out pretty early trying to order seed for early deliveries. I think we could be in for a pretty good spring also. So export out of the US, just want to show a few slides. I don't know if you can see that, but probably you can. So this is ODA, when they test seed, they issue a phyto. And this is the amount of seed they have tested for export. And we can see back from 2007, we exported well over 40 million pounds. And now we are up over 140 million pounds. There's been some differences, but overall it's pretty stable export we have. The yellow line or the yellow bar is year to date, it's including October. From January to October this year. So there is more to be exported the next few months. So I think overall we'll probably have a decent export. That contradicts a little bit what I'm talking about with exchange rates and so, that we are struggling there, but I think there's definitely been a shift, as you'll see later here, in where we export the seed to. We are exporting more cheap seed now than we did earlier. We export less seed to Europe, which is more high-priced market, higher quality market, and more to China, for instance. So I think we can say there's been a shift there. This is what we are exporting out of the US, and as you see, annual ryegrass is by far the biggest one with 45%. I can hardly see this here, but I guess. So with 45%, perennial with 10%, fine fescues 20% of what we export, and then bluegrass with 4 or 5%. So annual ryegrass is by far the biggest product that we export, followed by the fine fescues. Where do we export it to? This is the 16 numbers and also the slide before. So China takes 44% of our export. The next biggest one is the European Union with 20%, and then Australia with 10%. And then the rest is actually spread over, while Korea with 9%, that's mainly annual ryegrass. A big part of that is annual ryegrass. So it's spread out. China is by far the most important market for us at the moment. And it seems to continue to grow, goes up and down a little bit, but I think the overall trend is that the market will continue to increase. The European Union, as we will see later, is a very flat market. But I'll show that in a second. Europe, the market in Europe, sales is very strong as it is over here. They have high prices. Inventories are definitely falling in Europe. Commodity prices are low in Europe just like they are here. And that's increasing the seed production in Europe, especially countries like Poland. see big increases in production. Only certified seed can be sold in Europe, so you need to have your variety listed on a variety list in Europe to sell it over there. So that complicates it a little bit if we export seed from the US to there. So here is this is a DLF slide, a slide that DLF in Denmark is doing over the EU market. And what you can see here is the orange bars is the production, the harvest. It's actually harvest in 1,000 pounds. So overall, you can see they are harvesting. If you go to 17 here, 18, 19, they are harvesting 450 million pounds in Europe. That's based on standard yields, of course. But overall, you can see the production has gone up and down a little bit. But overall, it's been staying up that 400 to 450 million pounds. Yields were down this year here. That's why this one is low, but maybe also acres. The other thing we can see, the blue line up here is consumption. And that's very, very stable. So I think we can say there's definitely stable demand in Europe. It's not a market you can grow in. They are self-sufficient for most of it. You can see that down here. This is the import. And import for, it started up over here on over 100 million pounds, and now it's down to a little over 50 million pounds over the years. So import is going down. Export has gone up, at least since here. It went up and has stayed pretty stable here over the last 4 or 5 years. So import-export is more or less equaling, out. So this is how, at least we see, and inventories is the other one. That's the gray area behind here. You can see inventories has fallen, especially the last few years here is worth to notice. Has gone down quite a lot. So they don't have a lot of seed in Europe, a lot of additional seed that they need to move. And that's an important part for, what can we expect for the future. When inventories are going down, harvest is not increasing to a lot of level, we will not see inventory build up at this level here. We are in a good situation going forward in Europe with the markets as well. Here is just a slide on the U.S. export to EU 28. EU 28 is the 28 countries in the European Union. We can see annual ryegrass here has gone down from 10,000, close to 11,000 tons, metric tons, down to close to 7,000 tons. So a big drop in annual ryegrass over the years. We simply don't export the amount of annual ryegrass to Europe anymore. We see more production taking place in Europe instead. Poland is taking that over. Prices in the US is simply too high now. And that's been a tendency that's been going on for the last years. Big drop also in tall fescue, as you can see. Same thing in perennial ryegrass, but that's coming back again, probably sparked by the low prices we have in US. The oversupply we have in U.S. that people are willing to sell it with very little margin to Europe now, just to move the seed. So overall, I think import has gone down with from here to here with 33%. So that's a big drop. China is a market I want to touch on as well. It's definitely a market in good balance. I think they import about 35,000 tons of grass seed every year, and it goes up and down, as I say, but 35,000 tons is a lot of seed. What are that 80 million pounds or 85 million pounds? That's a lot of seed. Some of it is coming from Europe, actually quite a lot of it is coming from Europe, and a lot is coming also from the US. There's strong demand. They require, in general, top quality or off-grade, very little in between. All the good quality they are importing of perennial ryegrass, of tall fescue, and bluegrass, they're using that mainly for sod production. I visited a sod-producing area here recently, south of Beijing. they produce 7,000 hectares. I don't know how much that is in acres. What is that? 15, 17,000 acres of sod production with bluegrass, just in one area. And they use 2,000 tons of bluegrass for that area. And that has all to be crop and weed free. So that's what they want. But they're also willing to pay a decent price for it, so that's good if we can get the seed. Construction, again, is going up. There were some years where construction in China did not go very well, but that's definitely on the way back up now. Proprietary forage is very limited in use in China. Import tax is another way. We have heard about that before, that they all had to pay 13% in import tax. They never knew whether they got it back or not, so that created a lot of problems. But now they're all paying 11% import tax, and they don't get the money back, so they just add it back on the price. So that market is actually doing quite well now. So the other thing that I want to touch on is, it's actually a big issue for us here in Oregon that we don't have very good production data. We don't have good data to make decisions on how much do we want to plant as an industry. We don't have good data necessarily either, sitting in the Oxford group trying to decide the price for tall fescue and perennial, because we don't have good data. Every time we argue back and forth whether it should be 100,000 acres or it should be 90,000 acres, whether the warehouses, the empty warehouses tell a true story that there is no seed or not. You know, maybe it's sitting with the seed companies instead. So we don't have good data. And I think that's something that we need to improve to avoid overproduction or shortages, minimize price swings. And that's for the benefit not only for dealers, but definitely also for growers, that we try to set the right prices. What do we need to know? What's the ideal situation? Well, we need to know exactly what are the production acres. How many acres do we have here in Oregon? How many do we have in Washington? How many has the seed companies planted, and so forth? We need to know a little better information about the yields. We need to know the inventory, current inventory. We need to know carryover, how much seed do we have carrying into the next season. If we have all this information, we can make good decisions on how much we want to plant. Where do we get information today? We don't have any really good information sources today. You know, we got OSU certification, that's one thing, but that only certified acres, and then we have to guesstimate how much uncertified seed there is. So that's not too accurate either. We got OSA that do a dealer survey where we get information on how many acres those dealers have, what's their carryover of seed, and so. But not everybody participated in it. And not everybody necessarily is the member of OSA either. Then we got Oxbow, they do their own survey also, and probably not everybody is participating there either, and not everybody is a member of the Oxbow. So that also just gives us some indication on where we are. Then we got the NAS survey, same thing, not everybody participated in that, so that just gives a partial picture of the story. So we don't have reliable data. So how can we get accurate data? I think it should be mandatory to report the acres you have as a farmer, how many acres you have on your farm. That should be reported to either ODA or whatever. There's nothing harm done with that, to tell how many acres we have, because that will provide good information to us as a group, growers and companies. We should have mandatory OSA member reporting, that everybody that are a member of the OSA, which is most of them, actually have to report their inventory numbers, their production numbers, and so, if they want to be a member. And what harm is there done with that? Nothing. Because, you know, we don't spill our beans to anybody else. This is, you know, we send it to a lawyer, all the numbers, and Barenbrook will not be able to see my number, or I cannot see Barenbrook's number. So there's nothing lost with supplying this information to the market. Another thing is only certified seed in Oregon. See, in Europe, it's only certified seed they produce. It's working well. They have a lot more value in the seed sector in Europe than we have over here. We have low margins. In Europe, they have high margins. Farmers are doing well also in Europe. So I think that was something to look at. I know not everybody will agree with me on that. But it's certainly a way to bring more value into the system and a way to give us more information about what we really have in the ground. What do they know in Europe? I say they know many things in Europe when it comes to how many acres they have. Here's an example for Denmark, but it could actually be any EU country because everybody needs to report their acres. So here you can see the acres in Denmark for, here we go. Here is white clover, crop 17. We know exactly how many acres there were, 9,884 acres. We know exactly how many acres we have to crop 18. That's exactly the same acres. This is index, so that's relative. But if you look at here at perennial ryegrass, we have 66,805 acres in Denmark of perennial ryegrass. Crop 18, we have 11% more. So that gives really good information to the companies, to everybody else involved in these decisions about how much to plant, what prices to take for it, and so, that we can actually estimate how are things developing. So that's just one example. And as I say, you can get the same from Poland if you want, exactly the same. So this is what we have in the US, a lot more, maybe not quite as correct as I say. I took in some, the numbers in general are from OSU and maybe some other sources as well. But these are OSU numbers where you can see back in 2006, we had 525,000 acres. We had in 2010, we were down to 375. I just selected a few years there. And then 16, 17, we can see pretty relatively low numbers. It's 25% below what we were in 2006. Small increase in 17 to 16. And then if we look at 18, this is not very scientific. This is kind of something we put together, so you might disagree with that. But I think what we can see is a small increase in annual ryegrass. We see a decrease of 10 to 15% in perennial ryegrass. And for sure, an increase in tall fescue, including K31 of 5 to 10%. The rest of it is, yeah, bluegrass is also going up with 8 to 10%. But otherwise, it's pretty flat. So this is the information we have in Oregon. But this is not facts. This is just based on what we think they are, what OSU think they are. So to that point, I think we can do better and we should be doing better. I know there are work being done now trying to improve the what we can get, but this was just some ideas, at least from us. So if I should conclude on this, I think global balance, there's a global balance between demand and supply. We don't need to worry about prices dropping dramatically this year or next year. We should continue with high prices into next year. We see these high prices starting to increase seed production in parts of Europe, South America as well. Argentina, Uruguay is increasing their production as well, of, for instance, annual ryegrass, because they can export to other parts of the world now because we can't. So there are some risk in that, but it's definitely not going to hit us hard in 18, 19. And the other thing is just touched on the need for reliable production and inventory data. So overall, I think we should all be happy with the outlook for this year and probably also next year. So that was a lot of good news, I guess. But that's it. That's all I have to say, unless there is any questions. Thanks. Mm-hmm.